It's Thursday, September 4th. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day. The show's celebrating Newsmax for its lawsuit against Fox News, because Fox News is dominating the, quote, right-leaning pay TV news market. Yes, Newsmax, please spend lots of money on a lawsuit against Fox News, because there can only be one winner in the right-leaning pay TV news market. Have fun! On today's show, Florida's Surgeon General very proudly announces that the state is working to end vaccine mandates. And rumors are swirling about the possibility of the Trump administration offering New York City Mayor Eric Adams a job to get him out of the mayoral race. But let's start with Congress. Remember Congress? Well, like school, Autumn, and the Backstreet Boys, Congress is back in session. And there's a lot to do. Let's start with the potential for a government shutdown. If Congress doesn't fund the government by midnight on September 30th, the government will close up shop. Democrats have demanded meetings with President Donald Trump and the GOP to create a bipartisan spending bill. That's because the Republicans need the Democrats, at least seven of them in the Senate, to pass something. But Trump and the GOP don't seem inclined to do any deal-making, even if that means the government shuts down. And House Speaker Mike Johnson made his thoughts clear on that possibility Wednesday.
If the government shuts down, it'll be because congressional Democrats rejected common-sense solutions to fund the government and instead caved to their far-left base.
That's right. Sure, the GOP has the majority in the House and Senate, but really it's the fault of Democrats for everything. But preventing a shutdown isn't the only task ahead of Congress. On Wednesday, survivors of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein spoke on Capitol Hill, demanding answers and more information on his crimes. We'll talk more about that press conference later in the show. It came a day after the House Oversight Committee released over 33,000 documents related to the Epstein investigation, though most of those files had already been made public. Kentucky Republican Representative Thomas Massey also filed his discharge petition on Tuesday in his efforts to get more Epstein information released, despite the GOP trying to stop him by any means necessary. And if you think it sure is weird that the GOP is fighting tooth and nail against a Republican to stop more Epstein details from being made public, me too. So for more on Epstein, a potential shutdown, and what Democrats do now, I spoke to Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen. Senator Van Hollen, welcome back to What A Day.
It's good to be with you. Thanks, Jane.
So there's a lot to talk about, but let's just get this out of the way. Where are we with a vote to release more documents in the Jeffrey Epstein case?
Well, I've been pushing for that for some time. In the Senate, we asked for our Republican colleagues to join us through what's called unanimous consent to ask for them. They were blocked. In the House, as you know, there's an ongoing effort for what's called a discharge petition to force a vote. But you know what? Really, we shouldn't need a vote, right? I mean, the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, has told us for years that these documents should be released. So just release the damn files.
I think that that's what gets me about this, is that we heard from current members of the Trump administration, people who are some of Trump's biggest backers, talking about how when Trump comes into office, he's going to release every detail. And this is all, you know, the storm is coming and this is all going to happen. And then Trump pulled a complete 180 and started calling it a hoax, as he did on Wednesday. And as you know, victims of Epstein's held a press conference Wednesday imploring lawmakers to do something. But is this as weird to you as it is to me?
It's very weird because we know how much harm was done to these victims. And we've heard their stories. And for Donald Trump and Pam Bondi to go from saying that we absolutely need to disclose these files to saying this is a Democratic hoax, you would hope that this is a bridge too far for his supporters, because his supporters have believed for a very long time that Donald Trump was going to go in and go after the deep state. And the deep state had been burying these Epstein files. And now they're not letting them be released. So that's why it's important that we keep this front and center. The main reason we have to keep it right front and center is because the victims of these horrible crimes really need to be given some kind of justice. They'll never be fully compensated for their harm, but they should get some kind of justice through transparency and accountability.
Absolutely. And I really hate when people talk about this being a distraction. Like, it's not a distraction for them. It's not a distraction for the people who were victimized by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. It's just not. But to get on to other congressional matters, because we're always having fun in Congress, we are looking at a possible government shutdown at the end of the month. The last time we were in this position, back in March, which feels like it was years ago, Senator Chuck Schumer said Democrats would oppose the Republican spending bill, but then ultimately got behind a stopgap measure to avoid a shutdown. Now, at the time, there were real worries, and I think understandable worries, about what would happen with Elon Musk and Doge if the government was closed. But what other options are there right now? Like, on the one hand, yes, Trump could do a lot without Congress being available. But on the other hand, he's doing a lot with Congress being available. So I'm curious as to what you're thinking right now on a potential shutdown.
Well, what we're witnessing right now is the president of the United States is shutting down programs that he doesn't like on his own will, right? So he wants to freeze funding for certain National Institutes of Health programs. He just does so. I guess the point I'm making and you're also making is that the president's already engaged in a shutdown in the sense that he's shutting down things that he doesn't like, and he keeps up and running things that he does like. So that will clearly be a major factor in whatever Congress does going forward. But you can't have a system where the president gets to, you know, decide what he wants to do and rejects everything that was done on a bipartisan basis. It's not an a la carte menu when it comes to the budget we pass.
So what's your move? What are you thinking?
Well, my view is that if we can get a bipartisan budget process and we can include in that legislation restrictions on President Trump's ability to move funds from one account to another, that that would be something that we could support. But the big asterisk there, the big but, is that does not seem to be the direction that Trump, and certainly not the direction that House Republicans are going. And the lesson we've learned around here is at the end of the day, Republicans all fold and do what Donald Trump says. It becomes, yes, dear leader, at the end of the day. And so while I would prefer a bipartisan process that funds the priorities of the American people in the way it's supposed to work in Congress, it seems that President Trump does not want to do that. So, again, we won't know that for 100% certain for a little while longer, but that seems to be the direction he's headed. And obviously, we're not going to be complicit in what is would be essentially a one-sided Trump budget.
Yeah, you were saying that if we could get this bipartisan bill, and I'm like, well, you know, Maryland football could compete for a national championship. But, you know,
I've said, you know, sometimes it feels like Charlie Brown and the football here. And I've been very clear that the chances of actually getting the Republicans to work with us on a bipartisan basis is right now very close to zero. Again, people hear what they want to hear, and people hear senators like Susan Collins and, you know, Lisa Murkowski, and they think, oh, well, maybe in the end of the day, we'll have a bipartisan process. But the person to keep it, you know, just be listening to is what is Donald Trump saying? Because at the end of the day, virtually every Republican in the House and in the Senate, almost to a person, just falls in line.
You just got back from a trip to Israel and the West Bank, where you checked in on the aid situation in Gaza. And based on your tweets from last week, your take is bleak. What's on the agenda for Congress to attempt to address this issue this session?
Well, I wish I could say that Congress had a plan to address the terrible situation in Gaza. I went to a town on the Egyptian-Gaza border that I visited in January 2024. And when you looked over into the town of Rafah, it's called, in Gaza, a town that was there a year and a half ago is just gone, reduced to rubble. And the United States is complicit in what's happening there in terms of the starvation, in terms of the scale of destruction. That's why so many of us have said that we shouldn't be providing, you know, more military assistance than the Netanyahu government when it's engaged in a war not only against Hamas, but really aimed at the collective punishment of Palestinian people. Unfortunately, we don't have close to a majority in the Senate to do anything like that. We recently had just over half the Senate Democratic caucus vote to prevent the transfer of certain weapons. I wish we would see everybody supporting that position. That's the position that I think is the, not only the moral position, but the only position consistent with American and international law.
I was curious if there's anything you can tell us about the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the U.S.-backed nonprofit that's supposed to be delivering food and other aid to Palestinians there. From what you could tell from your visit, how active and engaged was this group, or was that something you were able to see?
Well, we actually visited this place called Kerem Shalom, which is one of the two crossing points right now from Israel into Gaza. While we were there, we met with representatives from the so-called Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. And this was a foundation that, in my view, was designed to fail. Why do I say designed to fail? You've got 2 million Palestinians, many of them starving, and you have a system that sets up just 4 distribution centers, all of them in the southern part of Gaza. And you open these after there had been a complete blockade by the Netanyahu government, by Israel, on any food coming into Gaza for about 2.5 months. They may disagree with that analysis, but the reality is that the Netanyahu government tried to set this up as an alternative to the international humanitarian organizations, like the World Food Program. There's no substitute for those international organizations. That distribution system served about 400 delivery sites compared to 4. And even that was not great. So GHF, in my view, is something that the United States government should not be supporting, funding. The Trump administration is funding it. We should put all our efforts into the UN distribution system, and most importantly, demand that the Netanyahu government open up more crossing points in the Gaza and stop the many, many restrictions that has been placed on food and other supplies getting into Gaza. That's the crux of the problem. This, in my view, is a very deliberate strategy to use food as a weapon of war.
Senator Chris Van Hollen, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
That was my conversation with Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Are you using your group chat as your therapist? Hey, same, but maybe it's time to talk to a professional. Someone who is clinically trained and licensed and wasn't with you that night that thing happened. You know the thing. BetterHelp has been helping people find their match for over 10 years and has a 4.9 rating out of 1.7 million client session reviews. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Plus, switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/wad. That's betterhelp.com/wad. Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
The Florida Department of Health, in partnership with the governor, is going to be working to end all vaccine mandates in Florida law. All of them. All of them.
Florida Surgeon General Joseph Latipo got fired up Wednesday talking about vaccine mandates.
Every last one of them is wrong and drips with disdain and slavery.
I've done a fair amount of research on the history of slavery in the United States, and your kid has to be vaccinated against tetanus was not involved. Platypo, who was handpicked for the role by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, is a prominent anti-vaxxer who previously claimed that vaccines can contaminate human DNA, not true, are dangerous for young men, not true, and cause cancer, also not true. Anyway, thanks to him and DeSantis, Florida children may no longer have to get vaccinated for anything. Not measles, mumps, chickenpox, polio, the list goes on. DeSantis joined in to yell about masks. Yes, he's still doing that. And announced the creation of a Florida Make America Healthy Again Commission, chaired by his wife, Casey DeSantis, and Florida's lieutenant governor.
You know, they say Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA. We were doing that before anyone was even talking about it in Florida, and that's just the truth.
Meanwhile, on the opposite coast, the Democratic governors of Oregon, Washington, and California announced the creation of their own commission, a new alliance to protect their health policies from the MAHA movement. The governor said in a joint statement, quote, "The CDC has become a political tool that increasingly peddles ideology instead of science, ideology that will lead to severe health consequences."
Yeah, it's a scary thing to name names, but I will tell you, I'm not afraid to name names. And so if they want to give me a list, I will walk in that Capitol on the House floor and I'll say every damn name that abused these women.
You know things are not going great when Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene says something and we agree? Like 100%? The firebrand stood outside the Capitol on Wednesday for a press conference with several of the women who survived abuse by Jeffrey Epstein. Since the Trump administration won't release the rumored Epstein list of people involved with a convicted sex trafficker, their survivors and their lawyer, Bradley Edwards, said they're reaching out to fellow victims to build their own list. The survivors, some of whom spoke out publicly for the first time, are also asking lawmakers to vote for a bill that would force the government to release all of the files to the public. Trump's stance on the issue doesn't appear to be changing, however. He told reporters while meeting with Poland's president Wednesday that the Epstein debacle is a, quote, "Democratic hoax that never ends," and that, quote, "is totally irrelevant." To which Representative Green responded on a right-wing podcast Wednesday.
It's not a hoax because Jeffrey Epstein is a convicted pedophile.
Well, yeah. In a win for Democrats, the House rejected a resolution to censure Democratic Representative LaMonica McIver of New Jersey. The censure effort was sponsored by Republican Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana. But Democrats unanimously voted to table that resolution on Wednesday. They were joined by five GOP lawmakers. Two Republicans voted present. So, as McIver put it,
"Rep Higgins didn't get his way and get me kicked off of my committee and have me censured for doing my job."
Republicans wanted to punish McIver, who faces federal charges stemming from a physical altercation between lawmakers and federal officers. The incident happened during a congressional oversight visit to a New Jersey immigration detention facility earlier this year. Republicans also wanted to remove her from the House Homeland Security Committee. She pleaded not guilty to charges accusing her of assaulting and interfering with immigration officers outside the facility. The censure measure said her alleged actions did not reflect credibly on the House and that her continued service on the committee was a significant conflict of interest. McIver, however, says now that the resolution is tabled, she's carrying on.
"It's unfortunate that this process had to play out, but at the end of the day, I'm looking forward to continue working. There's a lot of work to do for the American people, and I don't have time to play with Republicans for trying to punish me for doing my job."
McIver's case is still pending in the courts, and a trial is scheduled for November. We know Trump wants very badly to stop 33-year-old Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani from becoming New York City's next mayor. So badly that Trump's advisors have reportedly discussed giving current New York City Mayor Eric Adams a position in the administration if he drops out of the race. That's according to anonymous sources who spoke to the New York Times. They're betting that once Adams is out of the way, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo could sweep in and win the remaining votes. The advisors are also considering offering a position to Republican mayoral candidate Curtis Sliwa for the same reason. Might as well kill two weird birds with one stone. Mamdani held an emergency press conference on Wednesday in response to the report.
"This is, however, about an affront to our democracy, an affront to what makes so many of us proud to be Americans, that we choose our own leaders, not that they get to pick themselves, not that they get to be picked by the President of the United States."
Mamdani won a stunning victory over Cuomo in the June Democratic primary. Cuomo is now running in the general election as an independent. Adams is also running as an independent after he opted out of the Democratic primary when his increasingly cozy relationship with Trump made it clear he had no chance. We're not sure Trump's blessing guarantees a win for Cuomo, but the former governor sure is thirsty for it. In August, he told the crowd at a Hamptons fundraiser, quote, "I feel good about that. I don't." And that's the news. Before we go, if you've ever been filled with rage by America's many modern-day political villains, the ones who seem to delight in torching basic human rights and thought, how did they get this way? Then this fucking guy is for you. It's Hysteria hosts Aaron Ryan and Alyssa Mastromonaco's YouTube series, where they deep dive into the worst people in politics, business, and beyond. A new episode just dropped on anti-trans, gender-essentialist psycho Nancy Mace. You can find all of it by searching for Hysteria Podcast on YouTube and Spotify now. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe. Leave a review. Thrill at Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping contemplating how they could live forever with the help of organ transplants, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how a microphone caught a conversation between Putin and Xi at a military parade in Beijing, as they discussed how in the future, quote, human organs can be constantly transplanted so that people can live younger and younger and even become immortal. Like me. What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at cricket.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and I do not like where that conversation is going. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producer is Emily Four. Our video editor is Joseph Dutra. Our video producer is Johanna Case. We had production help today from Greg Walters, Matt Berg, Gina Pollack, and Laura Newcomb. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. We had help with the headlines from the Associated Press. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.